hath no tongue, murder will out. Rainier Brewing Company, brewers of Rainier Beer and Ale, presents Murder Will Out. Starring William Gargan as Inspector Burke, Chief of Homicide, with Eddie Marr as Detective Nolan, in another challenging story written and directed by Lou X. Lansworth. The Mystery of the Swindled Songwriter.
On the second floor of a drab downtown office building was located the American Institute of Music Composers. Despite its impressive name, this establishment was not an institute. It was a bunco racket operated by song sharks. Their victims were unsuspecting amateur songwriters lured by the promise of fame and riches. On the morning of Saturday, April the 20th, 1946, a burly young man entered the Institute's outer office.
Hiya, miss. Well, here I am again. I guess you remember me, all right, huh?
Why, yes, I...
Bailey. Gold Bailey.
Oh, yes, of course, Mr. Bailey.
Mr. Morse said he'd have my song published today.
Oh, I'll tell Mr. Morse you're here.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, miss. Hello, lady.
How do you do?
You mind if I sit down here?
Please. Are you a songwriter?
Yeah. Face one. Off the press today. And between you and I, lady, I sure am a lucky guy.
Indeed.
Yeah. Love song.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah. Today's Shirley's birthday.
Shirley?
Yeah, that's my girl. I'm going to give Shirley this song I've written. Birthday present.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah, it sure is. But believe me, lady, I sure had to work. I don't mean writing the words. That comes natural to me. I mean getting the dough to pay Mr. Morse for composing the music and pay him to publish the song.
I've come to see Mr. Morse about some words I wrote.
No. Well, congratulations, Miss...
Mrs. Swope. Mrs. Henry Swope.
Well, Mrs. Swope, it's a pleasure to have met a fellow songwriter.
Thank you. But I'm not a songwriter yet.
No?
I hope Mr. Morse thinks I have enough talent to let me join the Institute. How much does he charge?
Well,
Mr. Bailey, Mr. Morse will see you now.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, excuse me, Mrs. Swope, and good luck.
Thank you.
Hiya, Mr. Morse.
Mr. Bailey, let me shake your hand. You have genius, true genius.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
Oh, the lyrics you wrote. Such words inspired me to compose some of the greatest music of my career. Here, the piano. Yeah. I want you to hear the song even before I show you the printed copies. Listen. Yeah.
Your hands are soft like baby's skin. Your lips are just like berries. How the way I love you is a sin, and I think you're the berries. We ought to get hitched like a trot to a trailer. I'll stay in like you was my tailor. My pearl of the deep blue sea. If you say yes to me, I'll be a happy deed.
Well, you like it?
Yeah. Only don't the tune sound a lot like Peggy O'Neill?
Mr. Bailey, Peggy O'Neill has been close to the hearts for people for two generations. Well, you're in a hurry. I'll get your copies. That'll be
$50. $50?
Printing charges.
But I already paid $50. $25 for music, $25 for curtain.
You made a down payment. The full price is $100.
$100? Hey, wait a minute. You said I could have professional copies for $25.
Professional copies? Why, Mr. Bailey, you ordered the deluxe sheet music edition, specially dedicated to Shirley Hobson.
Yeah,
I have your signed order right here.
Yeah, but you said it was for free. For $50, I could dedicate my song to Shirley, and I ain't going to spend
no
more.
No,
I got to have my songs today. Today's Shirley's birthday.
Mr. Morse, will you step in the other office, please?
Excuse me, Mr. Bailey.
Yeah, but I ain't going to leave till I get my song to
hear. What is it, Ruth?
Outside. Two men want to see you. I think they're the police. Plain clothes.
Police?
So starts The Mystery of the Swindled Songwriters, another Inspector Burke mystery drama brought to you by Rainier Brewing Company. After the mystery, four contestants chosen from our studio audience as amateur detectives will compete for prizes. They'll be asked a number of questions regarding police findings and who they think committed the crime and the one clue that reveals the criminal. But first, here's Larry Keating. What's it going to be tonight, Larry?
I was just thinking about that tune, Reed. It's been a long time since I've heard Peggy O'Neill.
Well, you know how it is, Larry. The old favorites come and go.
But not all the old favorites. Some come and stay. 68 years ago, and that's longer than most of us have been around, a favorite was born that's still going strong. And I mean Rainier beer. Yes, Rainier had to be good to please so many generations. And it is. What's more, today it's better than ever.
The Rainier you buy today is made best to taste best.
Yes, made best to taste best. Rainier's own hops, Rainier's own malt. But above all, the priceless ingredient of tradition. 68 years of brewing skill bring you the beer made best to taste best. Rainier for good cheer.
Now back to our story, The Mystery of the Swindled Songwriters, starring William Gargan as Inspector Burke.
In here, gentlemen. Just up in this other office.
You're Dave Moss?
Yes. Now, what can I do for you?
We're police officers. I'm Inspector Burke. This is Detective Nolan.
Oh, how do you do?
How are you?
We're looking for Hubert Collins. Know him?
Hubert Collins. Hubert Collins.
Yeah, Hubert Collins. You published 3 or 4 songs he wrote.
Oh, my partner, Charlie Reed, might be able to help you.
Yeah, where is he?
Oh, he's out right now. Mr. Reed takes care of all financial matters. I take care of the artistic side of the business.
Uh-huh. Well, have you any idea where we might find Hubert Collins?
Why, no. Was something wrong?
Yes. Last night, an unsuccessful attempt was made to rob the store where Collins works.
And the description we have fits this Hubert Collins.
The person attempting this robbery was surprised by a special patrolman. There was some gunplay. The patrolman's condition is serious.
Oh, how terrible. Oh, young Collins had such talent.
Look through your records, your files. Any information you and your partner can give us, no matter how small, phone headquarters.
Where you been, Charlie?
I came in while they were here. Ruth tipped me off. I waited till they were gone.
That's Hubert Collins. He's in trouble.
So what?
So he might make trouble for us. Dragged us into it.
How? We're operating within the law. Who's that?
Some sucker told him to wait in my office.
Get rid of him, Charlie.
No, not yet. He's good for another 50.
Listen, I ain't cut all day. I want
my
song.
Mr. Bailey, why, this is my partner, Mr. Reed. We were just discussing your talent.
Yes. Dave tells me you're a genius.
Yeah, that's okay, but I want my songs now.
Oh, Mr. Bailey, I already explained to you you owe $50.
Are you dirty, rotten crook? I already paid $50.
No, just a minute. You... Don't start any rough stuff, Bailey. No rough stuff.
I'll take the joint apart if I don't get my songs.
You let me go. Let me go.
Do I get my songs, or do I must get up?
Let me go.
I'll shove your nose down to your ankles.
Don't hit me. Don't. Bailey, let go. Let go of him, you hear? Don't make a move.
No, wait. That gun. Don't use that gun.
Get out of this office.
Okay. But I'll have you arrested pulling a gun.
No, you won't. We'll have you arrested.
Yes, we know the law. You threatened my partner's life. We'll swear out a warrant.
That side door goes down the hall. Use it.
Okay, but I'll be back sooner than you think.
And come back with $50, or we'll sue you.
We'll attach your salary.
You.
Yeah. Wait, did he get his songs?
I don't know. Come on. We'll look. In my office. No. Now, his songs are all here. My desk drawer. All 12 copies.
Okay, put them back. If the sucker wants them, he'll be around.
Yes, he'll cool off. He'll show up with the other 50.
What's all the commotion?
Oh, some chump was in here.
Must have had to shout to cover up.
What is it?
That old lady sitting out there, Mrs. Swope.
What about her?
She wants to join the Institute. And she's got all her savings with her. $500 cash.
Well, sit down, please, Mrs. Swope.
thank you.
You're a songwriter. No. Don't tell me you aren't. I recognize talent when I see it.
Well, I don't know if I am or not, Mr. Moss. I've written some words for a song. Here they are.
Oh, thank you.
I want you to tell me if they're any good.
Oh, I'll be brutally frank, Mrs. Swope.
You will tell me the worst.
Oh, you can count on me. Now, let's see. We weathered in the springtime like the birds and bees. Oh, Mrs. Swope.
Brian, what is it?
Beautiful, beautiful, Mrs. Swope. Genius, pure genius, that opening line. It inspires me to compose some of the greatest music of my career. Here, sit down by the piano. I don't want to lose the mood. Listen, Mrs. Swope, listen.
We wedded in the springtime like the birds and bees. The bleeding hearts were bleeding. The love bark was on the trees. Then the angels took you. I saw this song I wrote for my dear dead husband, named Henry Swope, in memory of Henry Swope.
Ah, Mrs. Swope, pardon me while I have an emotion.
What is it? Is something wrong, or are you ill?
Oh, I'm overcome. Dear Mrs. Swope, the beauty, the poetry, the sheer magnitude.
I wrote that in memory of my dear departed husband.
Mrs. Swope, you're a genius. I demand you become a member of the Institute. I won't take no for an answer.
Really?
We'll make your song as famous as the end of A Perfect Day. We'll print thousands of copies. I'll even make a recording with my own voice now.
Well, how much will all this cost? Mr. Moss.
Mrs. Swope, such talent as yours should be given to the world. I insist you become a senior member.
Well, what does that mean?
We will publish every song you write. You will be famous, wealthy from the royalties you receive.
Well, how much will it cost?
Only $500, Mrs. Swope. You owe it to yourself. To the memory of your dear departed husband, Henry Swope.
Another cup of coffee, Ruth?
No.
This might be it, baby. What we've been waiting for.
A light, Charlie.
Still want to go through with it?
Takes money.
I'll get the money.
How?
Simple, baby, simple. Let Dave take the $500 away from the old lady. Then we take the $500 away from Dave.
Why not? Cops were nosing around.
Sure. Cops start asking questions. Get wise to the racket. This is our chance, baby. We'll skip out. Let Dave hold the bag.
What time is it?
A little after 2. I told Dave we'd meet him at 5, the office.
What do we do till 5?
Go to a movie, relax, enjoy ourselves. Let Dave do the dirty work.
Hubert Collins, what are you doing here?
Listen, Mr. Moss.
Hubert, you sap. The cops were here this morning.
You got to help me, Mr. Moss. I've got to get out of town. Look, it's almost 2:30. There's a bus leaving at 3:00 back east.
You're out of your mind. Cops will spot every bus depot in town.
I've got to take the chance. If I can only get some money, get back east, I can...
No dice.
Listen, Mr. Moss, I've spent over $500 with you. All I'm asking is a loan of $50. Give me a break.
I haven't got any money.
Okay. Tried to pull a job last night. Know why?
I'm not interested.
So I could get more dough.
You little fool. I didn't tell you to pull the stick up.
You told me if I got more dough, you'd promote my songs. I'd be riding high, hit the big time.
Get out!
Not until you let me have some money, Mr. Moss. If the cops pick me up, I'll drag you in. I'll tell them why I did it. To pay you.
Hello? Police headquarters? This is Dave Moss. Institute of Music Composers.
Yes, yes.
Some officers were here this morning looking for Hubert Collins. Robbery last night.
Yes, that's right.
Collins just left here, not 5 minutes ago. He's headed for the Central Bus Depot, blackmailed me out of $50, said he'd tell a lot of lies about me if I didn't...
Oh, yes, yes, all right, all right. Send some men right down. You can pick him up. This way, officers. In this office.
You two discovered the body?
Oh, yes, we called the police.
Yes, Ruth and I came back from a movie a few minutes before five. We entered my partner's office.
All right, and... you two stay in this outer office. Right. Close the door, Nolan.
Okay, Chief. Well, looks like a cyclone hit this office.
Yes. Let's take a look at the body.
Why, it's that fellow we were talking to this morning, Chief Dave Morse.
Looks like two bullets did it. Both bullets struck in the vicinity of the heart.
Yeah. Desk was open. Looks like the place was thoroughly searched.
Uh-huh. Robbery might be the motive.
What if this was an inside job, Chief, made to look like robbery?
Might be. Well, we let the medical examiner and the fingerprint men go to work. Have a detailed search of the offices thoroughly. Come on.
Where to?
Talk to the victim's partner and that girl. Check on every person known to have entered this office today. Come in, Nolan.
Well, we got all the people lined up, Chief, holding them separate.
Good. I had a talk with the girl, Ruth, and that Charlie Reed.
Uh-huh.
Got their story.
What about the reports? Anything new come through?
No trace of the murder weapon yet. Ballistics identifies the two death slugs as having been fired from a .32 Smith & Wesson.
Uh-huh.
Medical examiner definitely establishes Dave Morse met his death sometime between 4 and 4:15 p.m.
Well, right now, as far as we know, there was only two persons know Dave Morse's death.
Yes, the girl, Ruth, and the victim's partner, Charlie Reed.
What do you think about our plan? You think it might work?
Well, you can't tell. The shock impact might be a complete surprise to our suspects. We'll watch their faces carefully.
Well, I got the record player rigged up in Lieutenant Williams' office and that record we found in Morse's office.
When we're ready, I'll press the buzzer, signal the lieutenant. He'll phone me, and then we'll listen to the record on the intercom.
Good. That way everybody in the room can hear.
Well, let's go to work, Nolan. Bring in our people. Sit down, please. Mrs. Slope here.
Mr. Reed. Oh, Chief, this is Miss Shirley.
Shirley Hawks.
My girlfriend, Shirley. She come with me to protect my interests.
Yeah, here, officer. These songs Mr. Moss printed for Bill. All 12 copies. We want our money back.
Jeff, or we make trouble.
Mr. Bailey and me want to swear out a warrant and have Mr. Moss arrested.
Arrested? Well, I don't understand. Mr. Moss is a dear, kind man. He's a philanthropist.
Well, I don't know what that means, lady, but if you ask me, he's a dirty, rotten crook. That Bill's beautiful words to Peggy O'Neill.
It's a dirty gem.
Why, when Bill gave me those songs for my birthday, I could have cried. And then when I heard Mr. Moss charge $50 for that tune, I knew he was a crook.
That's right, Inspector. Moss was a crook. He stole my money. He and his partners, Charlie Reed and that girl.
What do you
mean?
You
don't know what you're talking about.
Just a minute, all of you. Hello?
Lieutenant Williams, Inspector. All set.
Who? Well, hello, Mr. Moss.
Moss!
Quiet, both of you. Can't see the inspectors talking.
Why, some friends of yours are in my office, Mr. Moss. You what? Composed the greatest song of your career. Well, we'd all like to hear it. Go ahead and sing it, Mr. Moss.
We met it in the springtime, like the bird and bee. The bleeding hearts were bleeding. The love bark was on the tree.
Why, that's my song he's singing.
He's not singing that song. This is some trick.
Yes, why are you doing this?
We thought Mr. Moss might tell us who shot and killed him.
What about it, Hubert?
What? I don't know what you're talking about. Last time I saw Mr. Moss, he was alive. He loaned me $50.
The police picked you up shortly after 4 this afternoon.
Yeah, but I was miles away. I didn't go to the bus depot like I told Moss.
When did you last see Moss alive?
About 2:30. When he loaned me the money.
Yeah, and the last time I seen Mr. Moss was this morning when him and his partner pulled a gun.
Wait. We can prove where we were.
Yes, we were in a movie. It's almost 5:00.
Oh, dear. What will happen to my beautiful song?
We don't know about your song, Mrs. Swope, but we'll return your $500. $450 was found on Mr. Reed's person, and Hubert Collins had the other $50.
I already explained to you, Inspector. I had nothing to do with killing Moss.
No, when we saw Dave Moss on the floor, Charlie looked in the drawer in the cash box.
The $450 was there. I took it. We were partners.
Here you are, Mrs. Swope. You're $500. And we're holding one of you for the murder of Dave Moss.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the testimony of the suspects. You know all the facts and clues in tonight's mystery. Did you find the one clue that reveals the killer? In a minute, Larry Keating will question our four amateur detectives who were chosen from the studio audience about tonight's police findings. But first, have you ever heard this at your house? Gee, Mabel, I hope that isn't more company. We've got a houseful now.
Well, chances are it is more company. That's the way things happen. So why not be ready for them? The economical way is to keep a good supply of Rainier Ale on hand. It's the West favorite, bound to please whoever's at the door. It's convenient to serve, too. Just uncap a few cold bottles, and your refreshment problem is solved.
Rainier Ale, the West's favorite, economical and convenient to serve. I'll remember that.
Yes, and remember Rainier is made best to taste best. It's Rainier for quality, for flavor, for good cheer.
And now here's Larry Keating, ready to question our four amateur detectives regarding the evidence furnished by Inspector Burke.
Our amateur detectives tonight are Mr. Irwin B. Hershen of Hollywood, California, Mrs. Molly Malone from Springfield, Missouri, Mr. Keith Williams of St. Louis, Missouri, and Mrs. Rita Hatton of Los Angeles, California. Before we get underway, I'd like to point out the rules of tonight's crime quiz. To each contestant who finds the murderer and the correct clue, Rainier Brewing Company will pay a $50 savings bond. If our amateur detectives find the murderer but do not have the correct clue, they receive a $25 savings bond. And here's something else. To each contestant solving tonight's mystery, Rainier also awards a special gold detective certificate, suitably framed. The winners of this award rate the honor of joining the ranks of expert amateur detectives. And now, Inspector Burke has given me the basic evidence in tonight's mystery. Each contestant will be asked several questions. For answering correctly, Rainier Brewing Company will pay $5 in savings stamps. Now, let's review this evidence. First of all, here is Mr. Irwin Hershon. Is that the correct pronunciation, Mr. Hershon?
That's correct.
All right, fine. Here is your question. The victim, Dave Moss, was shot and killed. At approximately what time did the medical examiner establish his death?
Between 3 and 4 o'clock. 2 and 4.
Between 2 and 4?
No, it couldn't have been 2 and 4. It was...
Take your
between,
time.
Between about 2:30 and... Well, 3 and 4 o'clock.
Well, I'm sorry, old man. If you had said between 4 and 4:15, you would have had it right on the nose. Better luck next time, and let's talk to Mrs. Molly Malone now. Mrs. Malone, the Ballistics Bureau identified the two slugs that caused the victim's death. What caliber were these two bullets, you know?
32 Smith and Wesson.
32. I see you're consulting all the data you have there. Very good. That's the way. Give this thorough...
I knew the time he was killed, too.
You did? Great. Well, I'm sorry, but we asked that to the young man. But now, here. All right, you know so
maybe
much,
I
Mrs.
I won't know the next one.
I'll bet you will. Do you know what make the gun was?
Smith and Wesson.
Oh, how easy. Well, I'm sorry we can only give you $5 for all this information. $5 in savings stamps, but you'll be back again and get some more money, we hope. Now, here is Mr. Keith Williams. Mr. Williams, you're quite a big boy. How tall are you?
6'3" and a half.
6'3" and a half, and you are from St. Louis, eh?
That's correct.
And I see you were with the Amphibious Forces in the Navy, right?
Right.
Here's your question. The receptionist, Ruth, found out Mrs. Swope carried her savings with her. How much money did Mrs. Swope have?
$500.
That's a lot of coconuts, isn't it?
That's certainly.
Girl, you get $5 for giving us the correct answer, Mr. Williams. Now, Mrs. Rita Hatton, if you please. Shortly after 4 p.m., Hubert Collins was picked up by the police. How much money did Hubert have in his possession?
50.
You know where he got said 50?
From Moss.
From Moss. He sort of borrowed it and rather blackmailed the money from Dave Moss, didn't he?
Yeah.
But you get $5 in savings stamps from Rainier with our very hearty congratulations, Miss Hatton. Now, here is Irwin Hershon once more. The victim's body was found by Charlie Reed in the girl room. At about what time did this happen?
At quarter to five.
A quarter to five, I would say, would be very close to it. A few minutes before 5 p.m., where did these two claim they were at the time of the killing?
They were at a movie.
And $5 to you, sir, courtesy of Rainier. Very good. Mrs. Malone, once more. Mrs. Malone, I see you have the books at hand again here. You're studying your Gladstone, I see. Here is your question. When did Bill Bailey say he last saw Dave Moss alive?
Look it up. Take plenty of time.
Go ahead. That's on page 4, I think, Mrs. Malone.
What?
This is, we're discussing Dave Moss. When did Bill Bailey say he last saw him alive? That might be in the footnotes there. Do you want to look for it? Haven't got it?
No. 2:30. He pulled the gun on Collins.
He pulled the gun on Collins at 2:30. But now we want to know when, when Bailey's...
On the wrong page.
Yeah, wrong page? Now, the question I read... May I repeat the question?
Granted.
Here is the question. When did Bill Bailey say he last saw Dave Moss alive? Is your secretary here? We could send... No? Mrs. Malone has it all written down on the back of all envelopes, laundry bills, everything. What? Haven't got it? Would you care to make a stab in the dark? When did... Now, think this over. You heard the story. When did Bill Bailey say he last saw Dave Moss alive?
Guess I don't know that one.
Well, I'm sorry. It was in the morning when Moss and Charlie Reed forced him out of the office at the point of a gun. Too bad. Now, Keith Williams again. When Bill Bailey was tossed out of the Song Shark's office, did he have the printed copies of his song with him?
No.
Where were these songs?
In the desk drawer.
You were right. $5 more to you, young man. Now, Miss Rita Hatton, please. A nice hand for Mr. Williams. Good. Miss Hatton, Mrs. Hatton, rather. Bailey's girlfriend, Shirley Hobson, came to police headquarters with him. Shirley brought Bill's birthday present with her. What was this present?
His song.
Ah, oh, what a present. $5 to you, young lady. Very good. And now let's see what this evidence revealed to you. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Inspector Burke to check the papers each amateur detective received at the start of tonight's mystery, on which to write who they think committed the crime and the one clue that reveals the criminal.
Thank you, Larry. Well, I've checked the deductions of each of our amateur detectives, and I find that Mrs. Molly Malone of Springfield, Missouri, said that Charlie Reed was the murderer. I'm sorry to say that she's wrong. Mrs. Rita Hatton of Los Angeles, California, said also that Charlie Reed was the murderer. Sorry to say that she is wrong. However, Keith P. Williams of Clayton, Missouri, and Irwin P. Hershen of Hollywood, California, both said that Bill Bailey was the murderer, and they're absolutely correct, and both also gave the correct clue. Now let's see exactly what happened. We held Bill Bailey for the murder of the song shark, Dave Moss. According to Bailey's story, he claimed the last time he saw Dave Moss alive was on the morning of the murder, when Moss and Charlie Reed forced him to leave the office at the point of a gun. Now, immediately after Bailey left the song shark's office, the two swindlers looked in Moss's desk and found the 12 printed copies of Bill's song. Yet later, when Bailey's girlfriend, Shirley Hobson, appeared at police headquarters with Bailey, Shirley had all 12 copies of this song. Unwittingly, and in a state of righteous indignation, Shirley gave Bill away. Because only by returning to Moss's office at a time later than he claimed could Bill have obtained these songs. It was this obvious slip-up that trapped Bill Bailey. Shortly before 4 p.m., Bailey returned to the office, demanded his songs. When Moss refused, Bailey started taking the place apart looking for his songs. Moss threatened Bailey with the gun. In the struggle that followed, Moss was shot and killed. Hurriedly, continuing his search, Bailey finally found his songs, left the office, taking the murder weapon with him. Bill Bailey pleaded self-defense. Hubert Collins was held for the attempted robbery of the store he worked in and wounding the patrolman. Charlie Reed and Ruth were arrested by the Bunco Squad. Their racket was exposed and smashed.
Thank you, Inspector. And so tonight we find that Mrs. Molly Malone of Springfield, Missouri has won $5 in saving stamps. Mrs. Rita Hatton of Los Angeles, $10 in saving stamps. We have two first prize winners tonight, Mr. Irwin B. Hershon of Hollywood and Keith P. Williams of Clayton, Missouri. They each receive a $50 in savings bond, one $5 in savings stamps, and Keith Williams, $10 in savings stamps. Congratulations. Each of the winners bring their awards a special gold detective certificate honoring our guest as expert amateur detective. And now, Inspector, what about next week's story?
Next week's story, Larry, is about an innocent witness to one of the strangest cases on record. Threatened, terrified for his life, this person came to the police and revealed a fantastic plot. What this strange plot was will be told in The Mystery of the Startling Secret. I'll see you then. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Inspector. So we bring to a close another Inspector Burke mystery drama, starring William Gargan and brought to you by Rainier Brewing Company of San Francisco and Los Angeles. Brewers of Rainier Club Extra Pale Beer and Rainier Old Stock Ale. All characters and incidents used on this program are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Larry Keating saying goodnight for Rainier Brewing Company and inviting you to listen in again at the same time next week.